So hi everybody and welcome back to the Research in Software Engineering group here at Microsoft Research in Redmond. And I'm pleased to be here today with Leonardo and Nikolai from the Z3 team. So let's start by, why don't you tell us about yourselves, guys? Let's go. Okay, Nikolai, start.
I'm Nikolai, I'm a researcher here in Rice.
I'm Leo, and also Dean Rice. So we work in Z3, we're working on Z3, the tier improver.
So, what is a tier improver?
Do you want to say something?
So it's a program that takes a formula, logical formula, as input and tells you whether the formula is true or false. And can give a proof for the formula, or can give a model that shows that the formula is not true.
Wow, that's a lot of confusing words in the same sentence.
I mean, the impression we have that when you explain someone is that they think this is useless, right? Why do you want to?
So why do you want a constraint solver?
I mean, we're in software engineering group. I mean, we have many verification tools, software analysis tools, testing generation tools, and all these tools need some form of symbolic reasoning, right?
So tools like PEX, Verified C, Spec Sharp,
Sage, STV, and so on. I mean, we have many clients.
So they all have at their core a component that uses and manipulates logical formulas and wants to ask, know whether these formulas are true or false, or get models for the formulas.
So can you give us an example just to have everybody on board here?
Should we? Let's see. I mean,
a simple example.
Okay, a simple example, right? We have x greater than 0, right? And you say that we also have that y equals x plus 1, and y is less than 0. It's impossible to make this formula true, right? You cannot assign values to x and y that are going to make this formula true. We can see that because x is greater than 0. Since y is equals x plus 1, we know by high school arithmetic, that y is going to be greater than 1. In this way, there's no way y can be less than 0. In this way, if we combine these three facts, we get unsatisfiable. We say that this is an unsatisfiable formula. There's no way to make it true.
So we give the formula to Z3, and Z3 tells us unsatisfiable.
Yes. And you can see, for instance, tools like PEX, they want to know if a path is feasible. They're going to create, from a path from the program, they're going to create a formula that is satisfiable, right? That you can make it true if and only if you can execute that path. That's basically how these verification tools, these test case generation tools, and use Z3.
So what happens when there is a solution?
Z3 is going to give you values for x and y that make the formula true.
So we could change the formula and make it satisfiable. So if we say that instead y being less than 0, y is less than 3, then we can say that a legal interpretation or model for the formula is one where x is assigned to 1 and y is assigned to 2. And so that piece of information can also be used as output, as a result of the theorem prover.
So that's pretty easy. Why do I need a tool to solve high school problems?
Well, I mean, most cases, most of the users need some form of case analysis, right? You have to, there's some ways to try all possibilities, but suppose that you have 32 options, right? And you want to try all combinations. It's more than 4 billion combinations, right? Doing the brute force solution is not going to scale in practice. And most of our clients, they have huge case analysis. I mean, to solve the formula, you have to do case analysis. One easy way to see case analysis is when you introduce an OR, right? Suppose now that you have y equals x plus 1 or y equals x minus 1, right? Now you have a choice here, right? So you can make this formula here true by making by assuming that y is equals x plus 1 or assuming that y equals x minus 1. But in practice, I mean, we have many choices like that.
So it's very important. You mentioned you don't do brute force. So you just don't go and try every integer for x and y and let it run for a long time.
Yes, exactly. Otherwise, these tools are not going to scale. I mean, I think the main the problems that this tree can solve, that they have really high complexity, right? Naive solutions are not going to scale, right? I mean, these problems are very, in the worst case, they are very hard, but in practice, they are, if you use smart algorithms, they are going to be easy, right? So that's the whole point of Z3.
So there's definitely a large amount of math behind Z3, and your publication page is filled with articles. Can people go and try out Z3 or learn more about it?
Yes, Z3 is available for download from the Microsoft webpage. So there's a download for Z3. And you can download it yourself and try it out. You can embed C3 in your .NET program or from C or from OCaml. And there are texts. You can also send text files to C3. So there are many ways to interact with C3.
So you mean I could take that program and ask Z3 to solve it?
Right. So you can write this formula either in a text file, or you can call the programmatic APIs into Z3 and ask it whether it's satisfiable or not.
All right, let's do it.
All right, we're now going to write a C# program that uses the programmatic API to Z3 to try out the formula on the whiteboard that we just went over. And so how do we use Z3? Well, we start up setting up the main types for it. So we'll do that. The first type is called configuration, or configuring Z3. Now a configuration is going to require using the Z3 namespace. And using a configuration, we can set up a logical context where it's done like here, where all the terms and formulas are being put into. So given a context, we can now create terms, and I'm shifting in a few pre-prepared terms, x, y, and terms for 0, 1, and 3, the numerals. And the way the terms are created is you can create a constant term for x, you give it a name, and you give it a sort. The sort for x is an integer. And you can also create numerals. So the zero numeral has value 0, and it has integer sort. Alternatively, you can give sorts reals or bit vectors. Bit vectors are used for.
Why do we say that x and y are constants instead of variables?
So we say that they are constants, as in logic you distinguish between functions, constants, and variables that can be bound by logical quantifiers. And so x and y are not going to be bound by any quantifiers. They act, in fact, as functions that don't take any arguments. So given these declarations, we can now create our formula. The C# API has some, or .NET API, allows overloading a few operators. So greater than and less than are overloaded, and you can create the formula x greater than 0 or y less than 3 directly just by writing it using the infix notation. Logical AND is also overloaded, so this you can just write directly. Now, equality is not overloaded, so here we're using the lower level functions for creating the equality that says y equals x plus 1. And so now we have created this formula, and after creating the formula, we can then assert that the formula holds true in the current logical context. So that's what's happening on the next line. So the next thing that's going to go on is that we're going to check whether the formula is satisfiable. As we check whether the formula is satisfiable, we're also going to want to get a satisfying assignment, a model for the formula. So so here's a model. There's a type in this three namespace. We can use the model to...
So what is a model exactly? What's the definition?
So a model is going to be an object that allows you to... that contains the values of the constants here in the problem that end up satisfying the formula. It's also something that we pass into the function that checks whether the current context is satisfiable. So here's the check and get model function. It's called check and get model. It takes a model as an output parameter. So if the context is satisfiable at this point, then it will return a non-null model. Now, check and get model also returns a Boolean value that is true if the current context, so the current assertions are satisfiable. It's false if the current assertions are not satisfiable. And then there's a special value if the current assertions are not known by Z3 to be satisfiable or unsatisfiable. This could be the case when there are quantifiers, so more complicated constraints that are not necessarily decidable. All right, so let's print the result. And if the model is non-null, then that's also printed. And it has a display method. And we also need to disclose the model. Right, so now we have the function. That we want to debug, and let's set a breakpoint and try it out. All right, so we need to see the output.
Alt tab.
And the output is
very impressive.
Now the formula is satisfiable, but we didn't print out a model at this point. And that's because we explicitly have to tell Z3 that we, in fact, want models.
So Z3 is definitely a low-level tool. Usually tools would generate those formula for you.
It would generate...
You don't really write those formulas by hand all the time. You have little tools that write it for them.
So this using this C# API is a low-level way of interacting with Z3. We also have text APIs that are easier for experimentation, for manual experimentation. All right, so let's try to run this again. And this time we get... The model printed out, because we have explicitly told Z3 that we want a model. Now we could modify the formula to the unsatisfiable version, and lo and behold, we get the answer false this time.
Excellent. Well, Nikolai, thank you, and Leo, thank you for talking about Z3 and showing the tool. And people can go to the Z3 website to get more information on how to use it and see you around in Channel 9.
Thank you.